We are back. We about to get deep. I suspended it for a minute there because my panelists weren't coming on the panel. So I said, you know what? Forget the panel. And we're going to bring on the one person that I know I can count on. The one person that I know will show up every single Monday until she goes back on campus to college. But the one person that I know that will give me her objective opinion, even though she's my kid and she shares a lot of my views. But we do differ on some things. And we're going to introduce her after we talk about me. I started doing workshops and doing groups where I'm getting up in front of others, like outside of the gym setting, and talking about resilience and perseverance and goal setting and vision and taking action. You should know what 1 hour of your time is worth. You should know the value that you bring to the marketplace. You know what your passion is. Starts with clarity of vision. If you don't have the clarity of vision, whatever next thing you get, you're not going to see it through because you don't have the clarity of vision. So the point of my pain was being told you will never run or jump again. And all that stuff, I was like, you know what? Like, I want to be able to take this even bigger.
If you know why you do what you do, you have to know how to charge for what you do. That's how you're going to change your life, and that's how you're going to leave a legacy for your children and your family. You got to know your worth.
Alrighty then, now we're going to bring in the kid, my child, the curly-haired phenom herself, Miss Olivia Foster.
Love what that intro. Yo? Much, eh?
You love that
yeah,
intro,
yeah,
see?
He's my kid, but let's talk about me first.
Do you expect anything less than that from
no,
me?
No, no.
Alrighty then. So, Olivia, tell our peeps a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. I'm 19. I attend college for kinesiology. I'm an introvert, so this is still nerve-wracking. And yeah.
All right. So when we debuted this last time, our first episode was critical race theory. So what do you remember from that episode?
Oh, I think with that one, did we talk about George Floyd? No, I think it was just about putting critical race theory in schools.
Yes.
I think that was like the main topic we were talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't remember exact points we were making, but that we are both, we both disagreed with it because how it's not going to be the same across the country in terms of how they're going to teach it. That's pretty much all I remember.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like my biggest thing with it is that I always say, no matter what topic we're talking about, that doesn't mean it's fully across the board. Yeah. See, so like if somebody looks into one school and one school is just teaching regular history the way it's supposed to be taught, and then you just think every school is teaching regular history the way it's supposed to be taught, and that's not the case. And you know what's been going on here in Rhode Island, especially with the South Kingstown schools, like that's been making national news and probably international news. But there are things that are being taught in some schools that are far beyond the regular history. Now, I've gone to school. You've gone to school, right? I learned about the slave trade. Did you?
Yeah.
I learned about Reconstruction. Did you?
Yep.
Okay. I learned about the slave codes. You?
Yep.
And how the KKK was formed and the history of policing?
Yep.
Yep. Did you hear about Jim Crow laws?
Yep.
And the civil rights movement.
Yep.
Okay, so what the hell needs to change? Right? Because I learned it. You learned it. If you look deeper into this, this is about political indoctrination. And it's not just happening on one side. It's happening on the other side as well, on the left and the right. So I actually have someone, hopefully she sees it before this episode is over, to get me an example of what some schools in Texas are doing. Because like even on with the right wing agenda, they have it infiltrating schools as well.
And is Texas Republican?
Yeah.
Mostly?
Okay. Yeah, they're a red state, mostly red state. But my biggest thing is that kids should be off limits. You know what I mean? Like, kids are in school to learn. Kids are not being bred to become the next leftist or the next right wingers. And that's what's happening. And it gets masked. It gets masked in the main media. So I asked you about that first episode, because remember we had Krista and we had Amanda.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those two? And remember Krista was saying that they were, see, I got the right pronoun this time, right?
Yeah,
that
good.
That they were against it. And remember when I asked, why are you against it? And he gave, I don't remember the exact answer, but I just remember asking further, do you know what your local schools are teaching? And they responded with no. I said, then how can you take a stance? And that's the biggest thing, because there's so much misinformation. And when people research, they're actually only looking for something that supports their belief. they're not actually looking for the truth. So, like, let's just take abortion for a second. So if you're someone that's pro-life, you're going to go and you're going to look at all the statistics of when the heart forms, when the brain develops, when you're viable. Like, you're going to look for everything that substantiates your claim. And if you're someone that's pro-choice, you're going to look for everything that substantiates that. And so critical race theory is no different. If you want it to be, it's just teaching history in school. Okay, then I learned history in school without being told I was oppressed, without white people being told to jump in front of black people if a cop is around so that they don't get shot. Like, and this isn't stuff I'm making up. This is actual curriculum from a school here in Rhode Island. Remember, we spoke about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and this was to, I believe it was kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. They're teaching these kids about that. And you were probably too little to remember, but I remember I brought you guys to New Taconicut Park in Providence, and there were you guys who are, you know, mixed kids. There was a couple darker-skinned black kids. There was an Indian, which I was shocked because I didn't think there were any Indians in Providence. Sorry if that sounds racist, but, you know, most of the Indians are in the southern part of Rhode Island, but there was an Indian, and there were a couple Hispanic kids, and you guys were all playing, just playing, sharing your shovels, pushing each other on the swings, and I remember sitting there looking at that, and, like, this is such a beautiful thing, but unfortunately, at some point, adults are going to mess this up. You know what I mean? That's what happens. Adults mess up. Kids will play without prejudice. Kids won't see color. My biggest problem with critical race theory is that it forces kids to see color. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree, obviously, because, like, first of all, the whole, like, we're going to go back to that school thing. Because,
yeah,
what are they, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds?
Yeah.
Barely lived life. Mm-hmm. And you're already telling them, like, this is how you're going to live. Like, it's heartbreaking mm-hmm. to even think about that. And another thing I actually want to bring up about schools, because a lot of times, especially in history classes, they'll make it part of the curriculum to research current events.
Yeah.
Like, I know I had to, but it was more so, like, you would, you know, go on CNN, Fox News, all the, you know, news sources. And you'd pick an event from, like, that week or month, whatever your teacher told you to. And you would basically, like, one paragraph would be, like, a summary of what happened. And it was, like, a summary of, like, a reflection. Like, that was it. Like, you weren't forced to, like, say you agree with it or you disagree. Like, you just wrote whatever you thought and that was it.
Yeah.
But I feel like now, it's, like, basically brainwashing. They're telling you, you need to see the world this way. This is the only way. And this is, like...
Yes.
I hate it.
See, and that's a perfect time for us to react to this video. So this, whoops. Stop it. We're not reacting yet. All right. So this is a critical race theory cartoon that anyone that follows this subject, you've probably seen this, but we're going to let it play some. We'll both react to it and just say what's on your mind. Because as you know, like I said in my intro, just because you're my kid doesn't mean you share the way you see it. Like, don't be influenced by what I say.
Of course.
You know? So as you see people here at the start line, and you see behind, this is 1921. All right, let's play it a little. Okay, so 1964 is the Civil Rights Act. So now they get up. So the white people left in 1921. The darker skinned people didn't leave until 1964. Okay, so now, So apparently the white people have no obstacles whatsoever, but just the people of color get caught in the storm.
Okay, yep.
So let's keep watching. And then you can even see that the white male is still slightly ahead of the white female. So that's relevant. And then again, the people of color are caught in the storm. And again, more obstacles along the way, simply because of the color of their skin, while the white people get to just run freely. Okay, so now with the poor schooling, now that's obviously a thing, and you can attribute that to decades ago, because there was definitely a lack of education in those black neighborhoods. I definitely understand that. And even now, there's an issue with school choice. Like, you should be able to go wherever you want to go. So that, I definitely agree, is an issue. Like, the education disparities definitely needs to be looked at. But it's also not something that can really hold you back unless you let it. What are your thoughts on the schooling? Because you've been through Providence schools and Cranston schools. So what are your thoughts?
I've done just fine. But I have a question, though, because I'm now looking at it again. So they started running in 1964. Is this saying that they're still running through the present or just 1964?
No, this is just saying that the race started then.
And it's okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I want to get back to the school part, because remember, when you were getting ready to graduate elementary school, I didn't want you in those more inner city schools. So where did we put you?
In a prep school.
Put you in community prep, right? That's on
Which,
me.
Fun fact, is on the south side of Providence.
Yes. Yeah. it's definitely not in the best of areas, but it was an amazing school. But who made that decision?
You did.
Yes, myself and Kelly at the time.
And
no,
of course, I did too, because I had other options as well.
True. So. You know, yeah, that's right. But it was our choice. Nothing held us back from getting you into that better school.
Yeah.
So by this just saying poor schooling, you're not going to amount to anything. That's not true, because we had options. You know, like, we weren't just forced to put you into that school. And now to say not everyone can afford a prep school. Remember, we got to meet your wealthy white contributors who paid for you to go those 3 years to that school.
And but nicest people, by the way, as well.
They were amazing people. They were invested in your education.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't people who just cut a check so they could write it off their taxes. Like, they were invested in you personally. And when I met them that day, like, it brought tears to my eyes. Like, I shielded it, you know, just but I was like, see, stuff like this never makes the conversation. You know what I mean?
Because community prep is also diverse. So a lot of people, when they think prep school, think, oh, rich white kids. Yeah. No, a lot of us were there because of donors. And about, like, maybe 75%, they were Black American or Hispanic. Like, it wasn't just white kids. Like,
yes.
It was so diverse. And they really, like, I'm just going to plug them up a bit. Like, community is, like, their biggest thing. Like, they're all about inclusion, diversity, and community. And it's just highly recommend.
and their academics was so accelerated. Remember in eighth grade, you were helping your older brother with his 11th grade math.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they didn't play into, oh, well, you know, you're going to be behind the eight ball. You're going to this. They prepared you guys for college. Like, they told you that when you entered the school, you know, so it's like they didn't tell you that you were still at the start line while all the non-people of color took off running.
No, they held everybody the exact same standard.
Exactly.
And that's what I appreciate a lot, yeah.
All right, let's watch again.
Okay.
And now she fell in the hole. Like, hey.
That was already pre-dug.
the insulting part about that is, like, do you think we're not smart enough to see a hole in the track?
There's that too.
See what I'm saying? Like that. Like, that's my, like, are your expectations of people of color that low that you, even with the stupid shovels sticking in the track, you think she's that dumb that she's just gonna run and fall in the hole?
That's offensive, actually.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't think that the first time I watched it.
Well, that's the age difference there, because I'm looking at it from a parental point of view. Like, I would never tell my child that you are too dumb to see a gaping hole in the place where you're running. Like, that's like the ultimate insult.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep listening. Underemployment. What does that mean? Like, when you see that word, what does that mean to you?
Like, as in, not a lot of Black Americans are employed? That's what I first thought when I saw that. But yeah, I had the exact same face. I was like,
That means lack of opportunities.
And that's what I thought, too, because honestly, in this day and age, especially post-pandemic, there are so many options. Like, everybody is literally hiring. They don't care who you are. They're like, get in here and work.
Yeah. Yes. And as you know, over the summer, I volunteered with Social Enterprise Greenhouse, which helps. They help anyone that needs the help, but they specialize in people from lower income areas. And they do put an emphasis on minorities and women to help them either launch a business or take an idea, bring it to a business. And if you already have a business, they help you scale it. The resources are free. They have an 8-week program, a 12-week program, and they tell you everything that you need to know. So you can be a high school dropout, and they will teach you for free in this 12-week accelerated program everything that you need to know to either bring your idea to a business or bring your business to scale. So how are you going to sit there and tell kids in elementary school that you're going to have an uphill battle in life? Like, and as a parent, I mean, I'm a parent of 5 kids. And you remember when we went to walk around Roger Williams just before you went off to a URI. And I told you, I said, you are a mixed race female. I said, there are going to be people out there telling you what you can and can't do. And remember, I said, that's all a load of crap. I said, you decide what you can and can't do. I said, I'm not sitting here telling you it's going to be a walk in the park. I'm not telling you that, you know, you're not going to have days that might bring you to tears and have you doubting yourself. Everybody feels that. Every race, religion, nationality, gender will feel that at some point in their life. But as your parent, it's my job to make you strong enough to get past that and then reach your goals. It's like, that's what needs to be taught in schools. Like, if they keep saying it's just history, cool, teach the history. There was a time where Blacks were considered less than human. There were times where they were considered property. There were times where they were beaten, raped, tortured, and treated less than. All of that stuff happened. But you know what? There's more Black millionaires, billionaires. We had a Black president. There's senators, there's governors. The highest paid actors are Black. No, our Olympic team was probably 70% Black. You know what I mean? Like, there's opportunities galore right now. So I'm fine with teaching that history, but you got to teach what comes on the other side of it if you apply yourself.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. And I do have a thought, but I might wait till the video ends.
Okay.
I'll try to remember it. But yeah, no, it's...
Well, jot it down so you don't forget.
But that's my thing. I was like, my thing is you have to put the work in, because no matter what, you still have to like put in the effort. So if say you want, like a lot of people, they start like a lip gloss business or something. Like what, you need to find a manufacturer, you need to get samples. Like there's a whole process. And if you go through the process, you'll get there, you know, but just because it's not instant, they immediately give up. So like that's on you, dude.
Mm-hmm. See, and this is my 19-year-old who just said the money sentence. If you go through the process, you'll get there. If you complain about the process, then you will not get there. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. Either you apply yourself and slay, or you complain and you stay where you are. That's how that works. All right, let's continue watching. So you saw that. So the Black woman got stuck. The Black man went back to get her.
Mm-hmm.
She took off running. He passed her. You know, so that's saying that Black women have it worse than everyone. You know, it's like you have to look at the subtle overtones in this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're trying to distract you with the captions, but you actually look at what's happening in here. It's very telling. And honestly, this is a very, very racist video. very, very racist video.
Clearly, I mean, you already have white versus black. Like.
So now the white people got to run right past the shark-infested waters. You know, the black man passed her, dove in. He was able to get out, and she's contemplating getting in.
You know the biggest issue? Wait, pause.
Sorry, go ahead.
The biggest issue is standardized tests. That is nationwide. Like, that is for everyone. Like, yeah. At elementary school, again, it was in Providence. Everybody was there, black. Everybody. Like, what was it, kneecap? Everybody had to take it. Whether or not you applied yourself, that was on you. Okay? Yeah. SATs and PSATs in high school, everybody takes it. ACT, I didn't take it because I didn't have to. Yeah. But a lot of people do. Like, yeah. It's... That one really bugged me. I was like, it's a national thing. It's not just, oh, you're black, you need to take this. Like, no.
See, so the thing with that is I see both sides of that issue. See, because we live here in Rhode Island where there's like 5 people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you go to a state like California where there's 40 million people and a very large population of minorities that I believe in like South Central L.A., like 75%, and don't quote me, fact check, I'm thinking it was right around 75% of blacks don't read on their school level, you know? Yeah. So, but as I said earlier, there's definitely an issue with the education system in the inner cities, you know? And there's a multitude of reasons. You could talk about high crime rate, teachers are afraid to teach in those communities. I mean, there's a whole myriad of reasons that we can do an entire episode on.
Yeah.
But my thing with standardized tests, and I say this in my motivational speeches, not everybody learns the same, regardless.
Oh, no,
yeah, regardless of color, gender, like people, like for me, I'm very visual. I'm very hands-on. So if I sit down and just listen to a lecture, it doesn't even go in one ear and out the other. It just goes right in front of my face and just passes me by.
Detour. You know,
it's like I just drift. But yeah. if I go to a workshop and I watch things and I actually get to touch and do things, I'll destroy everyone in that class, you know? So it's like with those standardized tests, I didn't do the best, but it's just because of my learning style.
And also, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I got to stand the other side with this too, because I actually agree that with standardized tests that a lot of people are afraid to take them because they think, especially with colleges, that that's the only thing they look at.
Yeah.
But think too, like that's why you send transcripts, like letter recommendations. You didn't think of those too. So granted, like I scored, it was like over 1,200. Yeah. Like I was pretty good, not the best, you know, it's pretty good, but my grades were also really good. So yes. I got accepted.
Yes.
So obviously, like I get it. I get it basically. But the fact that it's only for the black Americans in this video, I think that's what bothers me. Because
exactly.
White people take them too.
I've spoken in a lot of schools and I've spoken in a lot of special ed departments, and there have been plenty that's been all white kids. Mm-hmm. All white. So just to see this, and you'll see at the end of this video too, it frustrates me because people don't think that. I mean, there's more poor white people than there are rich white people. But videos like this just make it sound like white people just have a free pass to Harmony.
Yeah, regardless of their financial situation. Like that.
Yeah. And when you make that argument, people's first response is, well, they won't have to worry about the color of their skin. I'm 47 years old. I never had to worry about the color of my skin. Like, I don't worry about what people think of me. I worry about what I think of me.
Yeah.
And I teach you guys to worry about what you think of you, because what you think of you is what matters. Right. If I'm out and about and somebody flashes me a dirty look, that's their problem. That's got nothing to do with me. I'm leaving my mark on this world, you know? So when it's my time to leave, my videos, by then I'll have a couple books written. Hopefully you guys are all successful in your careers. My time here will be done. I'm not worried about the people who may have looked at me and had a preconceived notion. The people that get to know me, they know the real me. They know what I stand for. And they know that I'm not defined by my complexion. And people that let their complexion define them, I'm sorry, but that's the ultimate lack of self-esteem. And people can hate that if they want to. It's fact.
It is true, honestly. That's honestly why people hate on other people, because they're insecure about themselves.
Bingo. Exactly. All right. Let's keep going through this. Now, see, the black woman caught up, right? Yeah. She caught up, and then boom, right? Black man comes back to help, and he's in jail.
So that's jail. Okay, I was wondering what those were representing. School to prison pipeline.
So now this is school to prison pipeline. And see, so right there with that one sentence, they take all of the responsibility off the parents.
Yep.
That's what drives me insane. It's like school to prison. What about the parents? There is no accountability for the parents. Like I said, I've told you guys, and I got five of you. So statistically, they say 1 in 4 kids will end up in jail, right? So one of you should have been arrested. And it's like, I've been on you guys. And I remember even telling CJ, I was like, you went to school in Providence. You went to school in the city. How come you never got in trouble? He's like, because you would have whooped my tail. It's like, you're damn right. It's accountability on the parents. These kids, they're being parented now with electronics. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I let you guys play electronics, but we constantly have deep conversations.
Yeah.
Deep. And I do that with all of you. Like, all right, boys, let's go for a walk. And we're talking about all of the things that they need to know about what the, like, they're in middle school, but I'm already talking about high school. Exactly. I'm talking about, you know, about getting into fights and, you know, minding your own business and looking out for you, doing your work, you know, doing all that stuff. Like, it's my job to keep you guys out of prison, you know, and I hate this, how they're saying it's the school's job to teach about dealing with the police. It's the school's job to teach kids about masturbation. They want to teach 2, 3, and 4 year olds about masturbation. I'm like, seriously? Like, no. The school's job is to teach math, reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know what I mean? Like, that's the school's job. It's my job to let you guys how to see life. That's on me. So, if kids end up in jail, that's not the school failing them. That's not the system failing them. That's their parents either having kids before they're ready or their kids having to work too much and leaving their kids unsupervised. So then the kids end up turning to the streets. That's what the real problem is.
Yeah, and they don't even care. And it's like, say the parent has been, either one, has been like in and out of jail or just been in jail before. It's like, you really want to see your kid there?
Exactly.
So that's how you say, like, it starts in the household and someone has to make the decision. Like your father did, my grandpa.
Yeah.
Like he made the choice to get you guys out of there and I'm glad he did. But the same thing with these parents. It's like, you just want to see your kids and their kids and their kids like all end up in jail. Like, you want that for your family? Like, I wouldn't.
But. Exactly. See, and let me expand on that but before we finish the video. So my parents had an apartment in Brooklyn, New York, and it caught fire when my mom was pregnant with me. So there were six kids. Say my mom was pregnant, apartment burned down. They had to go into the projects in Queens. And my father was like, oh, hell no. He's like, this is not the place to raise my kids. So he actually left my mom with us kids in New York, came up here to Rhode Island, got a job building submarines, saved money. Like he would bring my mom up, you know, I believe she said like a couple times a month, and they would search for houses. They found a house in a nice, safe community, excellent school system. He went back down to New York, brought us up here, and this is where I was raised. You know, so when people tell me that my view of the world is skewed because I don't have an inner city upbringing, exactly, because my dad didn't want that for us. I don't want that for my children. Like, I want my children to have every possible opportunity that there is. And they're not going to have it if I tell them, well, you're marginalized, you're this, you're that, you're playing behind. I said, no, you are on the front lines with everybody else. Like, your result is going to be a direct result of your work. That's what it is. Like, that's what dad put into us. That's what I'm putting into you. And instinctively, when you get married and have kids, see how I said it that way? When you get married and have kids,
yeah,
that's how you're going to raise your kids. You know, and then that cycle continues. But if you're from a cycle of poverty and broken homes, and then that's what you're going to teach your kid, you know, like that single mom who got dogged by the baby's father, is going to teach her daughter, well, this is how these N-words act. And then she's going to repeat that cycle. And then it's going to pass down to her kid. So at some point, you have to break the cycle. So when grandma and grandpa went into those projects, grandpa was like, this ain't happening. He made the decision. The system didn't come save him. The government didn't come save him. White people didn't come save him. He saved himself. You know, and that's what needs to be taught in school. Once you put the accountability on yourself, that's when your life is going to change. So I hate this school to prison pipeline, because that's on the parents.
And honestly,
go ahead.
Because I understand also with parents, like, you're taught, but then you have these grown adults too. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure you know between difference between right and wrong with the age of, say, like, you're, you know, 20. That if you get into drugs, if you fight the police, like, if you do all these criminal things, you don't think you're going to go to jail?
Yep.
You don't think exactly. You're going to get into fights?
Exactly.
Like, if you're a grown adult, you got to take accountability for yourself as well. And don't be like, oh, well, my mom. No. You are your own person now. You're an adult. You can make decisions.
Like, exactly.
No. That doesn't cut it. Sorry.
No, it's so true. All right, let's keep watching this. So rest area. So apparently that's a white community and she's shut out. And now again, at one point, was there redlining? Yes, there was.
Yes.
But now if you have money, if you have savings, if you have good credit, if you're a respectable human being, like you don't have a criminal record. I know criminals can be reformed, but if you don't have a criminal record, you can live anywhere. Anywhere. You know, so again, 60 years ago, was this the case? Yes. 2021? No. I'm just going to bypass that.
Okay, because, yeah.
So now, shortened lifespan, right? Just in our family alone, although you probably won't know this because you're not around them as much as I am. But you know how many of my cousins, aunts, uncles, even some of my nieces and nephews are already walking around with a pill bag? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking like cholesterol meds, high blood pressure meds, diabetes medication. And I'm not talking type 1. Like, you can't control type 1 diabetes. But type 2, you can. You know, type 2 is from diet and lifestyle. High cholesterol is from diet and lifestyle. High blood pressure. People will argue that it's hereditary, but it's hereditary in our family. My blood pressure is 118 over 75. And people keep telling, just wait. It's going to get you. Like, just wait. 47 now. I've been hearing just wait since I was 25. You know what I mean? But I exercise. I'm very active and I eat well. Most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if you control what you're putting into your body, you know, that hopefully will extend your life. I know people, like, nobody knows when their time is up here.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing yourself any favors by being obese, and I don't want to hear about the look good in your own skin. This is about health. Okay, yeah. This isn't about beauty. It's a proven fact that if you're in the obese category, you're at an elevated risk for a whole lot of things, including premature death. Like, case in point, when's the last time you met a 90-year-old 400-pound person?
Never.
I know I have never in my lifetime. You know what I mean? So, like I said, this isn't fat shaming. It's fact. Like, people are always saying, trust the science. This is science. You know? So it's like, there are things that the minority community can do to stop this trend. This has nothing to do with systemic racism. That has to do with diet.
That's my first thought. Like, if you're not taking care of yourself, then yeah, you're probably not going to live till you're 80.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, I was confused by this one, actually.
Well, this says connections. So this just means that if you're in a white privileged society, that you have better connections, easier access to the things that you need to survive. But just watch as it unfolds. While she's at a dead end. See, white privilege. But notice it's just a white male.
Well,
as he just bypasses the white woman, she still has to run. But the white male just has his privilege. See, so she gets to bypass the roadblock, but she still has to run. You know, so she doesn't have it as easy as the white male.
Mm-hmm.
See, and with that video, the people... Oops, wrong one. And with that video... No, stop it. The people of color never make it to the finish line.
Yeah, so, like, they don't give them any hope.
Yes. All. So what are you telling those young kids of color? So you're going to have obstacles. You're not going to be able to.
You're never going to make it. That's what they're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. You're not going to live in a nice place. You're not going to have any connections. Nope. You're going to hit the wall and then you're not going to go any further. Like see, that's the message of this.
The connections one is some BS because again, 2021 technology. And my thing is if you go out and you find people like Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, you got options, okay? Like, yeah, I get it. If you come from, say, a family of business, they probably have connections. So yeah, they're right there for you. But yeah. Even still, if you, like, with you, you didn't have anyone at first. Yeah. But you took your time. You went out there. You found people. And now you have connections. And you're still doing it. Yeah. Like,
I started this podcast with no clue what to do. Yep. My other show with no clue what to do. And I just turned on my camera and just started talking. Now I got connections in 26 countries now. 26. All races, all genders, all religions. 26. So when you watch videos like that one, where but that's what we're telling our young kids, and that's why we say this, that's not history, that's indoctrination. Because you didn't show the other side. You know, like you didn't show, okay, so you hit that wall. You didn't show them persevering to get through it.
That's actually my first thought, because honestly, that was the point I wanted to say, because I had some hope at first, because a lot of the obstacles, the Black Americans, they kept going.
Like, exactly.
Like, they kept going. I was like, oh my God, like, nice, cool. And obviously the whole part about white Americans never having to face obstacles obviously upset me.
Yeah.
But and then after the dead end, I was like... So there's just the white male is going to get there first all the time.
That's the thing. Black Americans survived everything.
Literally.
They survived the slave trade. They survived slavery. They survived Reconstruction. They survived Jim Crow. They survived the KKK. They survived everything. But yeah. That doesn't get shown in that video. No, like I said, it's one thing to teach the history, but you have to teach the other side. It's like, yes, all of that stuff happened, but you know what? Today, because of everyone's sacrifices before us, now, Olivia, you can go out into the world and be whatever it is you want to be.
And that, too, like, despite the obstacles, you kept going, and you still made it there.
Yes.
Here's the biggest issue. This goes for everybody. And I've been saying this a lot. Like, just because you might have a straight path doesn't mean you're not going to get there. Like, you're, like... The way you formed, like, your business is not going to be the same as someone else's.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, you're not, there's going to be different things that, like, financial situations are going to affect how you get there. You know, family, like, worry about yourself. That's just what I'm trying to say. Worry about yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Like.
See, but that's where this goes back to politics. Okay, this goes back to politics. Because I said it before, and for those listening, I'm an independent, so I equally talk trash on the left and the right.
Yes, right? You'll be coming at us. Mm.
But this first point is like said, the Republicans can win with minimal Black vote. That's why the left is constantly stirring up this racial controversy and the trans controversy and the LGBT. Controversy. I love how Kaylin calls it the alphabet mafia.
For the LGBTQ,
yes. And she is a member, people, so she can say that. Yeah, but she's like the alphabet mafia. But like, notice how like any type of marginalized group is agitated by the Democrats.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Like I said, the right they have their things too, but for this argument that this is what we're focused on. And you watch going into next year, 2022, it's a midterm election year. You watch, BLM's going to be fired up again, Antifa's going to be fired up again, and anything that happens to any black person anywhere in this country is going to be blitzed all over the media. So they can conjure up those black votes. That's what this is about. This isn't about teaching history. This isn't about educating kids. This is about getting votes when these kids are able to vote. So if they get them young and they indoctrinate their minds now with this propaganda, and I told you, the right side's doing it too. But that's what it's about. This isn't about history. This is about getting future power down the line.
This is honestly why we need to educate people, because they fall for that stuff so quickly.
Yes.
Like the Democratic, I'm not really big on politics because it hurts my brain. It's just a lot. But the Democrats, all they do is say, hate Trump, they're white supremacists. You know, vote for us and you won't be voting for white supremacists. Like, that's pretty much all they say. And people are like, all right, I'm a Democrat. It's like, you don't know what they're going to do for you, what bad things they could do for you. And you're just, all right, I'm just going to vote them because the other side's white supremacists. Like,
Yeah.
issue. Like, they're just blindly following. I'm telling you, it's brainwashing.
It really is on both sides. It's like, because the diehard right wingers are just as bad.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, it's like they definitely have. But just the thing I don't like about this is like, and again, I'm not saying it's right, but the right wing is more in your face with it.
Yeah.
Whereas the left is sneaky, like with this critical race theory, thinking it's just teaching about proper history of the plight of blacks. Okay, but you're kind of throwing in other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and that stuff doesn't make it, because if anyone speaks out against it, especially white people, you're called racist. People like me, I speak out about it, and then I'm betraying my race. I'm an Uncle Tom. I'm cooning for the white man. I'm the black face of white supremacy. So it's like, instead of insulting the people that have questions, because it's okay to have questions.
Yeah.
Why don't you just hammer down on what this teaching does? Because notice that never happens. Like, nobody ever gets up and says, this is XYZ. They just say, oh, this is right-wing talking points. This is Trumplicans doing their thing. And they're white supremacists. They're advocating for white supremacists. No. Answer, how come it's okay for four-year-olds to be taught masturbation by a total stranger in school? And then, oh, well, that stuff doesn't happen. Oh, really? Because I have the curriculum. Like, I have it right here. I saw it. You know what I mean? Like, that has nothing to do with teaching history.
Yeah.
Like, that has to do with an ideology. Not calling kids boys and girls. You know what I mean? Like, that's happening. Not calling kids, or wanting kids to be revolutionaries, like we're going to see in this video. You know? So it's like, there's a certain agenda going on here.
Their agenda, I'm telling you, it's all anti-Trump. Because that one YouTube video I mentioned to you earlier, I was in the comments, but I always look at the comments, and someone, they were like, I'm going to do the research for you guys. And they went in, they found like several points of the Democratic agenda, because again, they're sneaky. Again, we're talking about Democrats, so you...
I know. We'll talk about the Republicans another day.
Yeah, like, I don't... Oh, so sensitive. But, so basically, I was just reading it. Everything that they're doing is just to be anti-Trump. Because everything Trump did is because he's a white supremacist. So let's undo it so that way everybody can like us. It's like, yeah, open up the border and just let everybody in.
Yes.
What? Just our safety's out the window just because you're not a white supremacist? Like, I'm just...
Exactly. I mean, and you know, we can go into this one in another episode, but that's where, like, they play bits and pieces of these interviews. And like I said, you know, Trump did do some things that shot himself in the foot. Absolutely. I'm not saying he did everything right. No.
Yeah.
But he also didn't do everything wrong either. You know, there were a lot of things that he did that was good for us. But it got misconstrued. It got completely vilified, and that's when I started stepping back, saying, "Like, I need to look at what's going on here. You know, like, look beyond what you see on the news." Because it was like when I saw that that thing in Charlottesville where he was talking about the good people on both sides. And it was like CNN and MSNBC. They just played a little blurb it made it look like he was talking about the neo-Nazis and the KKK and in the white supremacists. But when you watch the entire clip, he even clarified, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis. I'm not talking about the KKK. They should all be condemned to hell. He was talking about the people protesting. He was saying the people for and the people against, that there were good people on both sides. And he made sure to say, not the Nazis and the white supremacists. But that's not what you saw on TV. And then people take that little clip and run with it.
See, that's what bothers me, because when I see stuff, I immediately want to look for context. Because one, I'm slow, but two, just I like to have as much information as possible before I like have an opinion or like choose, you know. And just to I agree with you.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and again, like I said, it happens on the other side. So like, if you're going to watch the mainstream media, you need to watch both. You need to watch a left-wing channel and a right-wing channel.
Yeah,
and between the two bullshits, you can kind of find some truth.
Because Fox News is more Republican.
Yeah, the more right-wing.
Because honestly, I noticed that, because one video was CNN, and they were like kind of hyping up the Democrats and stuff. And then Fox News was more like, we don't like Democrats here. So now I'm really starting to see it now.
Well, remember, we were watching something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but Biden was giving a speech. I don't remember the topic, but we were watching. We watched CNN for about 10 minutes. And remember, I switched it over to Fox News.
Yeah.
And I said, see what's happening? The exact same story.
Oh, yeah.
Two completely different narratives.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like that's the problem with the mainstream. So, and you can tell the people that only watch one of them. You can tell. It's like the CEO of CNN was caught on tape during Trump's presidency saying he will not air anything positive about him. I thought you were supposed to be informing the American public.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not. It's political. I mean, it's political. Like that's why, again, like, we'll do big tech on another day. But that's why if you put something that's really anti the Democratic agenda, YouTube, Google, Twitter, Facebook erases it instantly. Know what I mean? It's like, in this, what happened to free speech?
But
it's like,
only do it when it benefits them. They're like, yeah, like with the protest. like, yeah, you can protest, you know, freedom of speech, but you speak out against Democrats. Like, you're not allowed to have an opinion despite having the First Amendment. It's like, yes. I can say, like, dude, the one time I was at URI, the one time I socialized people, the one time, it was like the day after the presidential debate, and then the VP debate was like happening like that night or the next day.
Excuse me, I'm talking. Sorry, go ahead. I had to.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
No, that was Harris during the VP debate. Excuse me, I'm talking.
You know, the VP debate, I couldn't even finish it because I was like, this is a mess. But anyways, so back
people are going to tell me I'm woman shaming now, but go ahead.
Oh, they can go crap. So the night that I socialized, the girls, they were all white, by the way, if you care about that. And they're like, did you watch the presidential debate? I said, no. First of all, I have homework and I was tired and I didn't really care that much. So I was like, nah, I didn't. They're like, well, did you hear about, they're talking about how Trump, they said they asked him if he would, think if he would condemn.
Oh yeah, white supremacy.
White supremacy. And
they wanted him to condemn the Proud Boys.
Yeah, there was something about condemning people.
Yeah.
And every time they spoke about it, it was just anti-Trump. And then I kind of brought up something about how Trump has been doing like pretty good things too. Like, he's not just this terrible guy. His mouth could use some work, right?
Yeah.
But some of the stuff that he was actually doing, he did some good things as well. Also, if he was doing completely bad things, Congress would get him out of there, I think. And then just every time they made a point, they just, like, when I brought that up, they looked at me like they looked so disgusted. Like, I wanted to run upstairs and cry. But, like, I'm just...
I mean, liberal... I'm sorry, but I know I always preach not to put people in the same box, but liberal college students, you just can't reason with them.
Like, I sounded like I was trying to tell them they're wrong or anything, because obviously that's what was aired, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
But because the fact that I mentioned just one, I didn't say I was a Trump supporter, I didn't say I'm diehard Trump, like, I neither. I dislike both parties in general. But exactly. I even say that, and they immediately just label me, oh, she's a Trump supporter, she's disgusting.
See, but that's just like... See, but that's like if you argue, like if you're a white person and you're having an argument with a black person, the worst thing you can say is you can call them the N-word, right? Like that's your hook, right? That's your strongest punch. So when you're in a political debate, and if you're disagreeing with a liberal, regardless if you're independent or what, you instantly get labeled a Trump supporter because right now in today, that's their haymaker. You know what I mean? It's like that's the go-to. But like I always say, if you have to resort to name calling, you lost the debate.
And I didn't say anything. The only thing I said was Trump's like he's done all I said is he's done good things too.
Yes.
Too, meaning like as well. Like
most people can't even name bad things he's done. Like when CJ and I went to Mount Monadnock, as we're coming down, there was this group of young kids. And as they're coming down the mountain, I overheard this girl saying, yeah, Trump was telling people to inject bleach in themselves to kill the virus. And I just went, because that's not even how that went. Like at that meeting, someone had said, one of the reporters was like, well, if sanitizer can kill the virus, you know, is this something that could be injected in to us to kill the virus?
Yeah.
And Trump leaned down to his advisor and said, we're working on something like that, right? He was meaning the vaccine. That's what they were working on. And then the media twist all that, say Trump is telling people to inject sanitizer. It's like, that's not how that went. And it's like, whether you like the guy, whether you don't like the guy, facts are facts. It's like, when you watch the actual video, that's what was said. He wasn't telling people to inject themselves with bleach. But then, like I said, the mainstream media puts that out there and everyone just runs with it, you know?
Yeah.
But let's shift gears. I want to get to this second video. We actually we actually have people listening to us. So let's get this video in now.
Oh, hi,
so,
people.
So this is the guy, a teacher in California, who is caught on tape saying he has 180 days to turn these kids into revolutionaries. All right, so let's get this
Antifa
one in here.
Ideals at Indercom High School. The left-wing movement against racism and fascism is known for using both nonviolent and violent militaristic tactics.
Everybody in Sacramento is not okay with this. We don't want this in any...
Okay, so mind you, this teacher has an Antifa flag in his classroom, which there's not supposed to be any political references in schools at all. And Antifa, as we all know, they're a wing of the Democrats.
Any district.
I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries. How do you do that? How do you scare the out of them?
The concern comes after.
I don't know if you heard that was cut kind of muffled. He said, I have 180 days to turn these kids into revolutionaries. The guy recording them said, how do you plan to do that? His response was to scare the shit out of them. You're talking about kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're a grown person and you believe in the Antifa movement and you want to do what you want to do, cool. You have that God-given right living here in America. This is not a dictatorship. That I'm not mad at. But you have no right to put that nonsense on children. Like, and they're not even your kids. If you want to fill your kids' heads with nonsense, again, you have that God-given right. But if I'm going to send my kids to school, and I, let me tell you, if I find out Cranston schools are doing this, that stuff's going to get blown up in the media big time. Because I didn't spend the last 12 years with the twins helping shape their minds and help prepare them for adulthood for some jackass in a school to put their ideals on my child. That is not happening.
First of all, it's not even your job.
Exactly.
Based online, filmed by the far-right activist group Project Veritas, which claims to investigate and expose corruption, often by filming people when they're unaware.
This is just too much.
Natomas Unified School District Superintendent Chris Evans wrote in a letter to parents Wednesday saying, a teacher at Indercom High School was recorded sharing his educational approach that is disturbing and undermines the public's trust. Natomas Unified will be taking the legally required next steps to place the teacher on unpaid leave and fire the teacher after the district's own investigation found.
So now the school said that his behavior was disturbing. How did they not know this was happening?
That's my thing. Having the flag up is already a red flag. Little pun there, but yeah, that's my thing. Is like, how are you? There's no way, because especially in public schools, every now and then an administrator will just pop into your room for like no
exactly.
reason. More so to evaluate the teacher. There's no way no one knew about what he was doing.
And he also gave them extra credit to attend left-wing rallies.
I know. So, I actually saw that too in another video. I was like, what?
Yeah, so it's like you're incentivizing your children to join protests about political ideologies. And these are kids.
All right, here's an example, right? When I was in school, again, public school, a lot of times with teachers, they'll say, yes, go out in your community for a community service, like going to food banks, donating food, like cleaning up trash. Like, they promote those types of things. They don't go and, first of all, discriminate against other kids if they don't believe in that stuff. But you don't go and say, I will give you extra credit if you go to these rallies. Like, you need to allow the kids to have their own opinions. And again, it is not your job to do that stuff. Like, there's a curriculum all teachers follow. Your job is to get in the classroom, lecture, quiz them, do whatever you gotta do so that they can go on to the next grade. Like, that is your job.
And like, if you want equality, that includes everyone.
Yeah.
That includes everyone. So it was on, I think it was one of the last times that I did this show, that I played a clip of a young white student, and he was saying that they were in class and they were showing a video about community. And he said that they showed all different shades of people. He said, but I didn't see anyone that looked like me. He said, so if this is about inclusion, how come someone who looked like me wasn't included?
So they only showed like...
They only showed people of color. You know, see, it's like that's what's happening here. This is almost like racism against white people. And it's like...
It's what it is. Like, yes. Racism is not one-sided, guys. It's not
exactly. Exactly. And again, maybe 120 years ago, it was pretty one-sided. You know, but that's not the case anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the case. Hold on a second. We got a comment here. All right. Teacher here. If my students know my political leanings, I have failed in my job. Bingo. Teachers can be activists on their own time. It's not our job to indoctrinate young minds to a political... Thank you. Yeah, see, and the people that speak out against critical race theory, they get labeled that they're anti-history. And it's like, no, I started this show with you and I saying, did you learn about the slave trade? Did I learn about the slave trade? Did I learn about Reconstruction and slave codes and the formation of the KKK? And, you know, like, we learned about all that stuff, about segregation, the colored bathrooms and the white bathrooms. We learned all of that stuff. What's being taught now is being slipped in under the guise of racial history. Because if you speak out against it, then you're the worst person on earth. So that's what I'm saying. So they're saying it's this, but it's really that. And that video shows it. That teacher straight up said, I have 180 days not to educate them, not to inspire them, not to motivate them, not to encourage them to pursue their dreams, not to help them uncover their hidden talents and their gifts. He said to turn them into revolutionaries. This is why parents across the country are speaking out against it. That is why. They do not have our children's best interests in mind. And I'm not talking about the teachers that don't do this. I'm talking about the ones that do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the schools that allow it, the principals that allow it, the superintendents that allow it, the Board of Education and the school committees that allow it. That is why parents are speaking out against it. I've spoken out against it. I've been on podcasts and other shows speaking out against it. Because that stuff, we don't want that. I said, I am the parent of my children. When it comes to ideologies and philosophies of life, that's my job. That is not the job of the teacher. That's my job, and that's their mom's job. Okay, that's not my job. I'm sorry, that's not their job. Just like it's not my job to go into a school and tell them how to teach math, tell them how to teach history, or tell them how to teach reading. You know, I can aid in that regard, and the teacher should be aiding in that regard. They should not be taking out an entire philosophy and putting that crap in my kid's head. No, because my kids see that we are all one people. We just look different.
Yep.
It's like people that have dogs. You don't see dogs being classified into black dogs, gray dogs, brown dogs, red dogs. No, they're just dogs. And they're just different colors. And as human beings, yes, at one point in time, blacks were considered less than human. That's a fact. Right now, in 2021, we can kick just as much ass as any other race out there. Just like women, there was a point in time you had no rights. You couldn't vote. You were looked down upon. And are there some people out there that still may be like that? Yes, and they will have to atone for their sins. But it's my job to get up here and tell women, you can be whatever you can be. You can have whatever you want to have. You can excel in whatever you want to excel at, regardless of what you might read on a social media page. And that goes across the board. Okay, if you want to be transgender or you feel you're transgender, do what you got to do. People are going to hate you for it. But at the end of the day, you have to be your true authentic self. So if it takes you to go that route, then do you. And then you just have to you have to just fight your way through whatever backlash may happen. Like if I go into a predominant white area in the deep, deep South, yeah, I might get looked upon differently. But you know what? When I leave that town, I will have earned all of their respect. That's how I look at dealing with inequalities or racial disparities. Okay, if I walk into a room, yes, the first thing that they're going to say is there's a person of color. When I leave that room, that color is going to be the last thing on their mind. Because I'm going to dazzle them with my intellect, with my talent, with my enthusiasm, with my willingness to give. That's something that can't be taken away from me. And that's what I teach my kids. Said, you get out into that world and you let your light shine so bright, darkness doesn't have a chance of penetrating it. And Olivia, give us the last word.
I don't know if I can top that. Because
You don't have to top it. You just speak your truth. Speak your truth.
It's just funny because there are a couple points I wanted to like add on to, but you were just so, you were on a roll. So I was like, oh God, I'm going to try to remember.
I went full speaker mode right there.
You did. I think the whole thing with, we're going to go back to the schools for a quick second. I think feel like a lot of it is fear. Because if you speak out against them, well, you're labeled and you're treated differently.
Yeah.
And so it's like your only choice is to either go with them or be against them. And people don't want to go against them because they're afraid. That's just my thought on it. And then, God, you were just, whoo. I'm trying to digest everything you said. But I agree as well that... Honestly, people are always going to hate because you know what? People feed off judgment and just negativity because it's so easy. Like if I see someone who's successful, if anything, I admire you and I want to know what you did. Like help me teach
you. Yes.
But a lot of people, they see someone else who is successful, and especially if they're like them and they hate on them. Because like, well, I don't have that, so I'm going to hate you for it.
Yes.
And it's like, you're not really doing yourself any good there, mm-hmm. You know? So I think that's my biggest issue, and I feel like that's what a lot of people forget, is that some people don't want you to succeed. But as long as you do your best, I know sometimes it's hard, to really try not to focus on anyone else but yourself.
Yes.
Like, people are going to tell you, if I tell someone, oh, I really want to do this, like, nah, you probably won't be able to do that. Watch me! Like, don't need your negativity right now, my sister would say. She'd be like... I don't need your negativity.
Yep, that's Kaylin.
Like, honestly. And same thing with, like, we can talk about LGBTQ another time because that's actually a whole lot there.
Yeah.
But same thing with them. People are like, I feel like I can't be myself. Girl, boy, whoever you are, you be whoever you need to be happy. Because honestly, you're not bothering me any. Like,
yep.
I want you, like, go do you. Like, if honestly, just go be happy. You earned it. You deserve it. Like, don't let anyone else bring you down because they want to see you on the ground. If anything, you stand your butt right back up. You rub it in your face. Be like, look at me. Like, look at what I've been through, and here I am.
See, and, go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking, like, it's just and then how you teach people, like, how to, like, tell their story. It's inspirational.
Yes.
So it's like, especially the black millionaires. Hello, we had a black president. So instead of telling people, like, with Oprah and Michelle Obama, I'm going to call them right out. Instead of sitting there telling them, you know, you're going to be like 8 miles behind. No. You tell them, here's my story. I got here. I want to help you get there. Like, that's what you do. You don't tell them that they're going to have to suffer.
Exactly. No. Exactly. It's like teach that. Like LeBron James is a perfect example because he grew up in the ghetto in Akron, Ohio. You know what I mean? And now I think his net worth is over $1 billion now. $1 billion. And he's going to get up there talking those left-wing points. Talking about, the cops are hunting us. I mean, now, you've only been on this earth for 19 years, but have you ever felt hunted by the cops?
No.
I haven't either. 47 years. No, but like, they say that stuff acting like, A, they don't have security.
Yeah. Right?
And most security are retired cops. That's most security. I can't say all, but most security, especially of celebrities, they're retired police officers.
Wait, can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
Especially about police officers. Just very briefly. It's funny because not so long ago, I was in elementary school, believe it or not. And so back then, cops were good people. They told you, if you ever need something, you go to police officer. They're doing XYZ. Firefighters, different story. But you get my point. Like, police officers, yeah. They're good people. They're out here putting their butts on the line every single day. They could be at home and they got to do what they have to do. And, we had them on a pedestal. And now, it's like they want to defund them. They want to hate on them. They want to treat them like they're not even human either. I'm like, so, here's the thing with Black Americans. It's like, you don't want to be treated like cattle anymore, but you're going to go treat another human being that way? Because it's like,
bingo.
You're just, I can't.
goes back to what I said earlier, that equality is across the board.
Yes.
You know, and as long as we keep separating everything and tracking statistics and percentages, there's always going to be disparities because there's not an equal amount of people in this country. You know what I mean? Like, Black Americans are only 13% of the population. You know, whites, I think, are 62% of the population. So the rest of it is Hispanics and Asians and Indians. You know what I mean? So like, it's never going to be 50-50.
But here's the thing.
It's not.
They don't want to change it. Because honestly, they talk all this stuff like, oh, I hate my life. You know, they put us here. Then change it. Mm-hmm. Oh, they know it's not going to happen right away. But it's like, instead of maybe killing each other, you go out and do some good. Like...
See, and that goes back to the upbringing.
Well, yeah,
it goes back to the upbringing because, for me, say my parents stayed in the projects, and that's where I was raised, in the projects in New York City. Do you think I would have this same mentality?
Again, I don't
from growing up in the woods, where I didn't have to worry about walking down the streets and getting caught in rival gang fire.
It's
like there's things that happen in those big inner cities that I never had to worry about in Charlestown, Rhode Island.
You don't know though, but what I do know is that people who've lived there, they've gotten out of it.
I agree with that. Yeah. But the bulk of the problems are there. I keep telling people we don't have a racism problem in America. We have an inner city problem.
But here's the thing though, they're not trying to fix it, and that's my point.
Yeah.
They're saying, here's the problem, okay, where's your solution? Your solution just to kill each other? That's not going to work.
Yeah, it's like, the thing is that we need more of us to get out there and spread the word, because they're going to listen to LeBron James, they're going to listen to Al Sharpton, they're going to listen to Oprah, they're going to listen to Barack and Michelle Obama, you know, because they're high profile people, even though they're all rich, spouting this nonsense. Like, they need people to let them know, hey, listen, this is where you are, but you don't have to stay there. Like, that's what they need. It's like, you have these gifts. Let's turn it into something to where you can change your family's life for generations. Like, that's the message that they need, instead of just being told you have all of these obstacles and that's just how it is because it's rooted in the system. Like, that's a load of crap.
And then my thing is too, is that there are some people out there, believe it or not, who they'll go out there and they'll talk and, you know, they'll try to inspire them, and then they get labeled as being, you know, that they hate Blacks. Dude, we want to help you.
Yeah, exactly. I get that all the time. I got told I was anti-Black before, so because I said Blacks can take care of themselves. They don't need the government. They don't need white people to intervene. They can do it themselves. How is that anti-Black?
If you want to blame the government doesn't see any value to you. We do. We see your potential. We see your worth. We want to help you discover it and do something about it. But no, you want to sit there and be miserable? That's on you.
Yeah. the government sees you as a ballot. That's what they see you as. It's all about power. You know,
like, we see you as a person.
If they really cared, like, remember in Providence? Maybe you don't remember, because sometimes I forget how young you are.
Yeah.
Like, they spent $1.8 billion to move the ramp to 195, because it used to be further up. And they moved it to where it is now. $1.8 billion. Dollars.
To exits, like, right there, because we would go down Plainfield, yes. Whatever it was. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, right? So they did all that, and you go into Olneyville, or down Manton Avenue, or down the far end of Truxtone Avenue. Excuse me, parts of Smith Street. You know, the Chad Brown Projects. Go down Academy Ave. You know, like, what could $1.8 million have done in those communities? Know what I'm saying? It's like you're proclaiming to be the party that cares about Black lives. And then yet we'll move the stupid highway, which still gets congested. Because that was their rationalization. They were going to move the highway. It would ease congestion. And then they were supposed to build up that area where the bridge was. They were supposed to, like, put shops and restaurants and stuff in there. They haven't put a thing in there.
Because they knew it would be vandalized.
And there's still traffic. So it's like, you spent all that money. Like, how far could that have gone to maybe renovate the Providence schools?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, people think that you need, like, a whole, like, you gotta transform it all one day. No, just take little steps. If the Democratic Party actually went out there and just little by little was just doing something, I would probably like them a little bit more. Maybe.
Maybe.
But they're not. You're just so anti-Trump. Let's undo everything Trump did. Like, honestly, they say they care about you. They don't.
Mm-hmm. They really don't.
I mean, Republicans, too. Honestly, they just have a political agenda.
Yeah, both sides do. I told you, it's all about votes. It's all about votes. It's not
and
about.
It sucks.
If anything, that was apparent last year, right? During the height of the pandemic, when all the colleges went back and they wrangled over that second stimulus package because neither side wanted to give the other side the victory before the election.
No, I think obviously that one, I remember that. And the other one was like, you're going to let people be starving and poor because you can't make a decision. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the whole thing with the vaccine, again, last year, I think
That's going to be next week's topic.
I won't touch on it now because, again, female, I'm just everywhere. is that, like, I remember they were saying back then, probably be like 2 to 3 years before it's fully out and, like, approved and everything. Hmm. And then start of this year, all right, my URI said you need to be vaccinated in order to attend classes.
Yeah.
So it's either you need to show some, you either have to fill out an exemption form because of your religious or whatever situation, or you need to get the vaccine. Like, as soon as Biden was in office, they were just pushing it out there. I'm like, it's barely been a year. Like, I remember Raimondo was telling us, like, it's probably gonna be a couple years till the vaccine out, wear your mask. And now they're like, all right, everything's open, vaccine's out, woo! Now we have the Delta variant. Like, you're putting everybody's health at risk because of your little agenda.
And now an MU variant, I'm reading. Like, it's like, you never really know. But like I said, we'll get into that one next Monday.
Yeah.
So this was good. I mean, it's been 1:13. We can obviously get off the air and continue talking, you know, because
I don't know, my brain is a little fried right now.
All right, kid, good show. Good show. And we'll be back next Monday. Goodbye, everyone.
Toodles.